It's a real joy to be with you this morning, and a great privilege too. I'm very grateful to the church for you and Reverend Hugh, Anna Bishop, for organizing this, for me to come here and be among you this morning. We thank God for your ministry, your different ministries, not just one ministry, and the great impact you have on the church all over the world, especially on our Middle East region. Langham Trust helped in equipping many church leaders from all over the world. I would not be exaggerating when I say that All Souls shaped the mind and discipled thousands, if not millions, of Christians worldwide. Through the books you produced for John Stott, for Chris Wright, and others. May the Lord bless you and use you more and more for the expansion of his kingdom. My brothers and sisters, you probably noticed that during last week, the news in the media focused on the issue of refugees and how the European countries started to take actions to solve their problems. This happened after the spread of the photo of the drowned Syrian refugee child on the beaches of Turkey. This photo was spread all over the media, the Facebook, the newspaper. I'm sure that many other children and young people drowned in the same way while crossing the sea to reach a refuge in another country in Europe. But this photo was so disturbing, was heartbreaking to all people who watch it. The photo did not only tell about the death of this child, refugee, but also revealed that the conscience of the international community is also dead. We in the Middle East think that the world watches these devastating situations in Syria, Iraq, South of Sudan, and many other places, but does very little to stop these wars and conflicts. Moreover, the Western countries refuse to receive these victims who are escaping for their lives. The positive outcome of this photo of the Syrian child is that it moved the public opinion in Europe to put pressure on their governments in order to take the emergency actions they took recently to accept refugees. Today, as we reflect on this issue of refugees and how we as a church should deal with it, let us reflect on a refugee whom we all love, and because of him, we are all here today. It is Jesus, the refugee. Let us go back to the gospel reading, which we just heard. I will read a few verses again. When they had gone, it is speaking about the Magi. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. The scripture here tells us that Jesus has, not in this, but in Hebrew, in the book of Hebrew, it's written that Jesus suffered being tempted. He is able to aid those who are tempted. In Egypt, Jesus and his family were refugees and went through all the pains and sufferings which refugees experience in order to be able to feel with those who are refugees today. In those days, 2,000 years ago, it was a very risky journey from Bethlehem to Egypt. However, now we Egyptians are very proud that the Holy Family took refuge in our country. We even have a program for tourists, if you want to come, to walk in the steps of the Holy Family. Egypt has a tradition of welcoming the people of God as refugees. Egypt welcomed Abraham, Joseph, and his father Jacob, and the rest of the people of Israel. Many Egyptians, including myself, believe that Egypt is especially blessed because it was a refuge for Jesus and his family. Herod wanted to kill the newly born Jesus. But as we all know, Jesus didn't come to be an earthly king, and his kingdom is actually the kingdom of heaven. He came to invite people into his kingdom. In order to accomplish his mission, he had to grow up and preach the good news. That's why the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and instructed him to escape to Egypt from the persecution and the tyranny of Herod. This is the situation of many refugees. They escape the persecution and the tyranny. They escape the wars. They escape for their life. And Jesus was like that. It is amazing that Joseph didn't argue. He didn't say, can we go back to Nazareth instead of Egypt? He didn't say, the way to Egypt is very risky. It's wilderness, and we may not find any source of water, and the baby may die from us. Instead, Joseph was very obedient, and the gospel say he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left to Egypt. The Bible does not mention how long the Holy Family stayed in Egypt, or what was their itinerary. It doesn't mention what challenges they faced on the way. However, the Egyptian Orthodox tradition, the church tradition, gives us an idea about that. Through this tradition, we learned that from Bethlehem, they traveled down to Sinai, passed by El Arish at the Mediterranean Sea. Then they came to the east of the delta of the Nile, then to Wadi El Natron in the western desert of Egypt. They then went south towards Babylon Tower, which is now called Old Cairo. And from there, they sailed in the Nile south until they reached a place called El Ashmoniyin near Asyut today in Upper Egypt. In these places, churches and monasteries were built as far back as the 3rd century in order to commemorate the visit of the Holy Family. It is quite possible that Virgin Mary has told her son Jesus about what happened during their journey. So it is not surprising that Jesus said later on in his ministry, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. I was a refugee, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Yes, he said, "I was a stranger, a refugee, and you invited me in. You welcomed me." I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that every time we read these verses, we in our church, through our refugee programs, we receive special grace and energy to welcome and help refugees that come our way. And also the same happened in our programs in Ethiopia and in Egypt and in North Africa. My brothers and sisters, the problem of the refugees in the world today is bigger than what we can imagine. It is said that the number of the people forcibly displaced at the end of 2014 has risen to a staggering number. There are now 59.5 million refugees compared to 51.2 million a year earlier and 37.5 million a decade ago. The increase represents the biggest leap ever seen in a single year. Moreover, the recent UN High Commission for Refugees, UNHCR, report mentioned that the situation is likely to worsen still further. Globally, one in every 122 humans is now either a refugee, internally displaced, or an asylum seeker. One in every 122. Since early 2011, the main reason for the rise of the number of refugees has been the war in Syria. Now, the world's single largest driver of displacement, Syria. Every day last year, an average of 42,500 people became refugees. Every day. Just imagine one village or one small town move away every day. 42,500 people become refugees, asylum seekers, or internally displaced, a fourfold increase in just 4 years. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees said these words, "It is terrifying that on one hand, there is more and more impunity for those starting conflicts, and on the other, there is seeming utter inability of the international community to work together to stop wars and build and preserve peace." What we as a church should do, what we should do, it's a big problem. We cannot just turn a blind eye to this. In view of this disturbing and heartbreaking news and facts, I think we should do 3 things. First, to welcome and to help refugees. Secondly, to participate in the development of the countries they come from, and thirdly, to be actively involved in peace building. First, we need to welcome and help refugees. In order to do this, we need to put more and more pressures on governments in developed countries to accept more refugees. Imagine Lebanon, a very small country with a population of only 5 million people and a very weak economy, is hosting 1.5 million Syrian refugees. Alone, Lebanon alone, this very tiny country is hosting and welcoming 1.5 million Syrian refugees. The rest of the neighboring countries did the same, but in a smaller way or a lesser way. In Egypt, we accepted 250,000 Syrian refugees. In addition, of course, we already have 2.5 million African refugees. After welcoming refugees in the country, the churches can then cooperate with the government and with the UNHCR to provide the needs of the refugees in a more holistic way. So they need the good news as well. They need clothes, they need a shelter. So we need to provide this. I was so encouraged for the appeal of Pope Francis when he asked every parish to welcome a refugee family in the parish. It is so important that these refugees may encounter the love of Jesus in us. In our refugee programs in Egypt, it's called Refuge Egypt. And in Ethiopia, we deal with thousands of refugees. In Ethiopia, they deal with the thousands who walk from south of Sudan to reach Ethiopia on their way. On their feet, they walk. They don't have anything. In Egypt, many of them come through different ways, even walking. We help them to find accommodation and shelters. We also have programs to build their capacities so that they can find jobs. And we provide education for their children, as well as health care through our clinics. I'm sure you can do better than us in these areas. Let us see Jesus in each one of them. And let us hear him saying, "I was a stranger and you invited me in," when we meet refugees. I will never forget the scene in the film Les Miserables. Probably some of you have seen this film, Les Miserables, when the bishop welcomed in his home Jean Valjean and exposed himself to the risk of hosting a suspicious stranger. Jean Valjean then attacked him and stole his silver. However, Jean Valjean encountered God's grace at his time with the bishop, and he was able to convey this grace of God to many others. This happened too when we welcome refugees. When they encounter God's grace and love in us, their life gets transformed and they share it with others. Secondly, we need to participate in the development of the countries the refugees come from. In other words, we need to share our resources in order to develop these poor countries. Supporting education will decrease the frequency of wars, conflicts and tribal fighting, because ignorance contributes to these wars and conflicts. Investing in these poor countries will create job opportunities and reduce unemployment. This will also require building the capacity of people, especially the young people. If we failed to do this, what would happen? We will see masses of people moving from south to north. So Britain, Great Britain, will have several countries from Africa moving this way. My friends, let us remember what Jesus said. Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone has food should do the same. Thirdly and lastly, we need to be actively involved in peace building when there are wars. Of course, wars happen at the political level, and we are not involved in this political level. But as Christians, we should not be completely absorbed by what goes on in our churches. But also, we need to think beyond our own situations and beyond our own communities. We need to work for the peace of other nations. When we turn blind eyes on the wars that are going on in other continents, we may soon find it happening in our doorsteps. In this regard, we need to constantly pray for peace of the world. And I believe in the power of prayer. Also, we may need to encourage our governments to participate in peace building. Many governments move in response to the pressure from their people. It is our mission to build peace. As Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." I want to end with a prayer. With a story, sorry. I was a practicing doctor. I practiced medicine for 26 years. And I was in a hospital in the Delta of the Nile. And during the fighting between Ethiopia and Eritrea, Ethiopian and Eritrean refugees came to Cairo. And they are referred to receive medical care in our hospital. And one of the Eritrean people who escaped for his life from Eritrea, he had an operation in our hospital. And then in the night, he would sit and talk with the nurses and technicians. And he heard the good news, and he wanted to read the gospel. So he was given a gospel and started to read. He left the hospital, and the week after, he came with some questions about the gospel. And then he gave his life to the Lord. 2 weeks after, he came back and said, "I'm going back to Eritrea." I said, "But there is war in Eritrea. Your life will be in danger. You will be taken immediately to fight." And he said, "I don't care. I want to share the good news with my father." And this person, because of the love and the care and the grace he encountered, he wanted to share this with his own people. So, my brothers and sisters, you have indeed a great opportunity to convey God's grace and love for those refugees who come to the UK. I know that it is sometimes risky but it is rewarding. It is risky to welcome people you don't know. My hope and prayer is that we welcome and help the refugees not out of duty, but in response to God's love to us. Not out of humanitarian drive, but also out of God's grace, which we encountered. May God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see you in the face of every refugee. Give us the grace to take the risk of welcoming and helping and meeting the great demands of these refugees that are coming our way. Lord, help us to share our resources with these poor countries from where the refugees come. Give us grace and respond to our prayers when we pray for peace in the world. May the world reconcile with you and with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.